You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
We've got our last but not least guest here on the program. We've got Johnny Dimmery, the jeweller, the silversmith, coming on talking about setting up shop in Otipoti and doing some cool stuff with the OUSA recreational courses. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm pretty good. I'm just wondering if I can enter that competition with the free Marlon Williams ticket.
Oh, you absolutely can. Have you got any you know, clothes shrinkage stories?
No, unfortunately. I did bleach a jacket so bad once that it fell apart.
Oh my god. How much bleach was involved? What kind of jacket was it?
I think I used too much. It was just a denim jacket.
Oh, right. Is denim not like bleach?
I think it doesn't like being left overnight in bleach.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it, eh? That'll do it. Could you use it for anything else after, or was it just like junk?
No, it disintegrated.
Oh,
I picked it up and the sleeve fell off.
Whoa. Yeah. That's impeccable.
Yeah.
It's very hardcore. let's talk about your jewellery style to begin with. It's, you know, something I kind of notice is it's got some medieval and kind of punk imagery. You know, you've got your morning stars, you've got your crown of thorns, you've also got a lot of chains. How would you describe your style of jewellery?
It started with a hand. Mm-hmm. Like, I was making toys. And, you know, you have to pour the resin into a mold to make a toy, but you have to mold the hand separately so that the resin runs all the way to the fingertips. So I had these little hand molds, and I figured out one day I could pour wax into these molds and cast them in silver, and I became a jeweler that way. Like, I put 4 silver hands up online, and they sold in 2 minutes.
Wow.
And over the next 2 weeks, I sold 80 silver hands.
Wow, how big were these hands? Very small?
Like the size of a figurine's hand.
Wow.
And so I decided to start making accessories for the hand, or to fit the hand. So I was having all these morning stars and bits of barbed wire. Yeah. Mm. I've never been a dagger man. There's so many daggers out there.
There are a lot of daggers.
Daggers and swords.
But you'd say that you fit comfortably into kind of like a little bit of medieval, a little bit of punky, a little bit industrial.
Definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, is there anything in particular about those shapes that kind of, really, really lure you in?
A lot of them are quite unconventional, impractical. A lot of them are covered in spikes. And
yeah, do they hurt to wear?
Sometimes, I think. You know, people often say, don't sleep in it.
Yeah,
I accidentally slept in my piece of yours and now my neck is bleeding.
Oh god.
Over time, hardcore. I've listened to the spikiness of the jewellery, but yeah, I think there's a point of difference there, and that's why it's been a bit popular.
Mm. Well, you know, beauty is pain.
That's right.
That's what people say.
That's right.
I saw on your website you've made these little silver flies, which are very, very detailed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in terms of, you know, difficulty, how would they rank up with the most difficult pieces?
So what you can do is you can mold anything that you make.
Mm.
You know, you take a silicon mold of anything that's hard enough for silicon to dry around it, and so you can use tiny pieces of wire, you can use I use polymer clay a lot, which is like a clay that hardens to a plastic, which you can then sand back, you can grind with a Dremel, anything. So I do a lot of additive sculpting, as opposed to sort of removing wax. There's so many different ways you can do jewellery. I think I've got a pretty uncommon method by doing more sculpting than carving, and then taking a mould from my little sculpts. I love sculpting tiny things and just trying to get as much detail as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it turns into a pretty impractical piece of jewellery with like the little spiky legs. But yeah, people seem to like it, so I'm going to keep going.
Mm-hmm. So was the fly particularly difficult or not at all?
No, there was one that was more difficult, which was a little Snoopy head. Snoopy is about this big.
Like the dog from the Peanuts?
Yeah.
All right.
Wearing a spiked collar with a earring that moved.
Oh, wow.
And a pair of sunglasses.
Whoa.
I think it was called, like, Joe Cool. That was the Snoopy character.
Yeah.
And I'd made this perfect little clay version. And I pulled it out of the oven, and it was summertime. I was at my parents' house in Gisborne. And I dropped it, and I knelt on it.
Oh, no.
I couldn't find it. It stood up, and it was stuck to my knee. And so I had to make another one exactly the same, and it was very, very difficult.
Did your knee get significantly burned?
No, it was okay. But my dad was like, what the hell are you doing? I was essentially crying next to the oven.
Oh, like, that's a brutal piece of imagery. Now, you say that you like working in a lot of detail, so I imagine that might have come into conflict a little bit when you were making some armor for the Lord of the Rings, Ring of Power series.
Rings of Power.
So what kind of armor did you make for that show?
We worked a lot with chainmail.
Mm.
So you get chainmail and sheets a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like butcher's glove material.
Yeah.
You cut that into various shapes and then link, you know, the pieces together. Sort of like making a pattern for a t-shirt or things like that. And then we would smash the hell out of this chainmail with like axes, like pneumatic hammers.
Whoa.
We would do all sorts of stuff. A lot of leather involved when making the orcs armor.
Mm.
That was the most fun because you'd have like leather and latex and like bits of fur and all sorts of disgusting objects to create these sort of fleshy pieces of armor.
Mm.
Yeah. We made everything. We made armies of elves, dwarves. My least favorite part of making costumes for that series was the small people, the half-foots, they're called.
Oh, right.
They're like hobbits.
Yeah.
Their costumes were quite boring. But, yeah, it was fun doing the orcs and the elves, for sure.
Totally. I imagine the dwarves, I mean, I don't know, the dwarves, they're so symmetrical and so solid.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun.
There were some heavy pieces, and I felt sorry for the stunt doubles, because we had actual small people as the dwarves, but then their scale doubles were giant people.
Yeah.
Wearing these huge, heavy sets of chainmail and, like, really heavy, sort of, like, because a lot of their armor's made of resin or it's plastic, and it can be quite heavy once everything's layered up.
Mm.
And you'd undress them after the take, and they would just be, like, so angry at you. Because they've been standing around all day waiting for takes in this, you know, heavy, hot costume.
Get me out of this!
Fun though.
Nice. Do you ever consider working with gold much, or is silver definitely like your wheelhouse?
Gold is very, very expensive right now, but it's the same process. Gold is a lot nicer to work with.
Really? Because it's softer?
It's softer. The higher the carat, the softer the gold.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so satisfying. You know, if you're soldering gold, You sort of do this thing called pickle, and you pickle the gold, and you take it out of the mixture, and it's quite matte and beautiful and just really satisfying. Silver can be quite ugly when you take it out of the pickle after it's been soldered. It's all brown and hideous. Yeah,
bit of a patina on it.
Yeah. But gold, I've done it a few times. Like, I've made a gold fly. It's just so expensive these days.
How much are you talking for, like, I don't know, 100 grams or something?
Oh.
Well, that's, imagine, is that too high?
Let's just say, like, a wedding ring these days. Yeah. Like, I'm giving away my secrets right here. But it's probably about $500 worth of 9-carat gold.
Sheesh.
Yeah, for something that size. It's probably more right now. I haven't done gold in a while.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. Wait. You've moved to Dunedin from, I assume, was it Wellington?
Yeah.
Yeah. How? What brought you to Waitepuete? Because I know that you're involved with OUSA, but was that the sole reason that you came down here?
Yeah, there's a few reasons. I've been coming down with my band Fog to play festivals, and I was doing markets at the George Street Tattoo Shop.
Mm-hmm. Shout out the George Street Tattoo Shop.
Yeah.
We love them.
That's right. And yeah, my friend Sophie lives here. She wrangled me a job through OUSA teaching jewellery. I found a nice studio through Nicola at George Street, and yeah, it was all just too good and a lot more affordable than Wellington as an artist. Yeah, just keen for a change. And yeah, I've got 6 students tonight at the first class.
Very exciting.
Yeah, very exciting. Can't wait to see what they want to make. We've sent out a text just saying, come along with an idea.
So it's more free form, not necessarily you being like, right, let's do a Cuban link or whatever.
Yeah, I'm quite cocky, I guess, and quite confident in my abilities to be able to do anything they want. Like, because we can do either sculpting or carving, you know, the world's your oyster. You can pretty much do anything. Even if it's unwearable.
What about grills? Has anyone requested any grills yet?
Yeah, I have had friends asking, especially friends with a dead front tooth.
True.
Yeah.
You make it look nice.
Yeah. I tried to make some teeth, but I used the wrong material. Like, I took a casting of my own teeth. You use this material called alginate, and it's pretty disgusting to have in your mouth. You've got to have it in there for a minute. And then you take it out and make a mold with what I thought was plaster, but it's not plaster. It's something much more solid, like a dental stone.
Oh,
that's what you actually need to use. And yeah, my plaster teeth just fell apart immediately, because once you've got your casting and the dental stone. So have you ever had braces or anything?
No, I'm very fortunate to not have had braces. Yeah.
They take a casting of your teeth, and so you've got this hard version of your own teeth. And to make grills, you just add wax, like build up a wax covering over the tooth or teeth. Yeah. And then you cast that in gold or silver. I've never done it, but I'm going to.
Oh, is that a project for 2025?
Maybe. There's a lot going on.
What are some of the students requesting? Is it mainly like rings or bracelets, chains?
Honestly, I don't get the information. I think it's all through OUSA. They've got all the students' details, and I asked them to send that text out. Yeah.
Cool.
But I'm offering rings or pendants, and that's pretty broad. Just for this first course anyway. And if this first course is successful, then we can do chain making. We can do whatever. It's all pretty easy.
Are there classes? Are they still taking enrolments, or is all done?
Yeah. I think this first intake is pretty full, but in 3 weeks' time, there's another intake. So, anyone out there listening, contact OUSA Recreation Program.
Mean
to sign up. Yeah.
Mean. Yeah. Sounds like a lot of fun. I've always wanted to do a bit of jewellery making, but of I don't know. There's just many things that you need to do that you never get around to, but it sounds like an awesome program.
Yeah, it should be fun. Yeah, working with young people, seeing what the trends are.
Yeah.
Who knows what they're going to ask for.
It'll be very, very fascinating to see. I want to thank you for your time and coming on the program today, Johnny. It was lovely chatting with you.
It's all good.
You've requested your a track from your band, Fog, Absurdist Peace, which came out in 2023. Is Fog still operating?
Yeah, we just recorded another EP. We just released a 7-inch with some of those songs remastered for vinyl. It's just called Absurdist Peace. But yeah, we've recorded 4 more tracks, and we're currently booking shows for Japan in September.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. Are you playing in Kyoto or Tokyo or the major cities?
Yeah. We've got a festival lined up for Tokyo, like a multi-level venue with all sorts of genres of bands. Our friend Death Row is organising that for us.
Big shout out to Death Row.
Yeah. And playing in Hiroshima, which is pretty cool. I went there 2 years ago, and it's a pretty heavy place to visit.
Yeah.
But they've got a great punk scene, so can't wait to get back.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Well, there's lots on the cards for you for 2025. That's real fun. Yeah. I want to thank you again for coming on the programme. And is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Sign up to this jewellery program, please.
We'll leave it there. Thank you for coming on the program today, Johnny. It was great having you. That was Johnny Dimmery, who is the new OUSA jewellery tutor for the RECT program, the recreation program at OUSA. It's 10:45 here on the...
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.